For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. After Christ's death and resurrection, his disciples were left behind seeking answers. In the first chapter of Acts, we find the return of Christ to provide instructions to his followers. As he departed into heaven, we find the disciples left behind to carry out the ministry here on earth. This morning, we will play the conclusion of Pastor Holland's two-part message entitled, What Are You Looking At?
If Jesus had not went to heaven, he could have never returned someday. Isn't that a wonderful thought today? As they saw him go, it's possible in our lifetime that we could see him come. And we would be maybe gazing into the sky, and we would be amazed to see him coming for you and I. But I submit to you, the Bible said that one day he's coming again. The Bible said in verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, the two men stood by him in white apparel. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. My, what a departure! I tell you, it was a compelling departure. It was a departure that was going to bring the Holy Spirit. It was a departure that was going to give us an intercessor. It was a departure that was going to bring about the fact that one day he's coming again. And friend, believe it or not, he is coming again, and it could be today. A compelling departure. But second of all, in verse 6 and 7, we find a confusing future. If you go back and look in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. When Jesus is going away, the disciples were concerned about the future and what it held. You know, the Bible said in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The future is something that is concealed from man. God may even call us home to be with him. And while no human on the earth, and by the way, that's what he mentioned even in verse 7. He said, no man knows the times or the seasons. We've got prophecy preachers predicting, and I believe that we're living in the last days. I really do. But friend, I don't know, and the Bible said no man knows the future. But I know who holds the future, and I know that he is in control of all things. What a comfort and thought today. In a world that's filled with pain and sorrow and heartache and disappointment, nobody knows whether tomorrow will be better or it'll be worse. I visited some people sometime and they've had problems, and I go in, they said, oh, I'm feeling so much better. And then I've gone in, I visit them sometime, they say, oh, I'm a lot worse. No matter what tomorrow holds, friend, one day we're going to be with him. We may be here today and gone tomorrow. We may be concerned. I want to remind you that where we're going, God is already there. And he'll meet you there, and he'll give you what you need in your life. Not only a compelling departure and a confusing future, but notice thirdly, a challenging task. We find thirdly, a challenging task in verses 4 and 5 and verse number 8. He said, in being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Gave them specific instruction, but they was to wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. But John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He told them what was transpired. All right, here it happens in verse number 8. He tells them again, but ye shall receive power. After that Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus tells them, I'm leaving, and I'm giving it to you. You're in charge down here to get the gospel out to everybody you possibly can. Now, friend, I understand if a person gets saved, it's God that does the saving. But I'm going to tell you something. When he went away, he gave us a challenging task, and that was to be witnesses for him. He said in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded them. And lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the age. He's leaving. I'm gone. It's on you. Here it is. This is what you do. But notice what he said. He told them in verses 4 and 5, you're going to be baptized, not only with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said, I will not leave you powerless. You'll receive power. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I can't do. But there's a lot of things God can do through me if I allow Him to and see what He's doing. For the last 3 years, the disciples have watched the Lord do what He was sending them to do. You know, a lot of times people want an example to follow. They want to see somebody to do it. They want to see somebody else do it. And boy, it's fun when somebody else is doing the witnessing because it's so hard for some people. They fail to witness. But they've been watching Him all this time and they've been seeing all this transpire and take place. And now, guess what? You're it. You're going to be my witnesses. Jesus promised them in verse 5 that they'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And He did that. The promise was fulfilled 10 days later in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The night before He died, the Lord Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in verse number 8, He tells His disciples that the Holy Ghost will empower them to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. If you've never witnessed or never led anybody to the Lord, it's the greatest thrill that you'll ever experience in your life. And you may enter into it in fear and trembling. You shouldn't. Because the Bible said God would be, the Lord says He'd be with us and guide us. But I tell you, if you ever see somebody get saved, at you, the Lord using you, you'll be amazed at what God does and how He uses you. And He can use the simplest of people because He uses me. I often wonder why God leaves us here. I tell you why, because He's not through. His job has not yet been completed, and there's still more to do. He said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3, ye are epistles. In other words, He said, ye are the written word of God seen in you. Ye are epistles, known and read of all men. For as much as you have manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. In Ephesians 2:10, He said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Friend, I'm telling you today, there's a lot of people out there that's not going to read this Bible. There's a lot of people out there that's not going to come hear me preach. But I tell you, they'll watch your life, and they'll watch your life closely to see how you live and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I can hardly go anywhere and talk to anybody that they hadn't met somebody from our church. And I'm grateful. It's a thrill as your pastor, because we ought to be a good report. We ought to be a testimony in a city to a lost world. Because if we're going to ever win Christ, we've got to have the testimony that we live and do what is right according to His will. We're epistles. But then He said, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, He took me, He molded me, He made me, and He allowed me to be where I'm at today, to serve Him and be obedient to Him. It's an artist's masterwork. That's why we should live for Him. That's why we should always be ready to share the gospel with the world. He said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm sure the task laid upon them occupied their minds that day. I'm sure fear crossed their minds. But I'm going to tell you, we have the same assignment today. May the Lord help us to be about our Father's business. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. Not my will, but Thy will be done. And then last, and I'll close with this, there's a comfort and promise. The minds of the disciples are filled with confusion. There's doubt. There's misunderstanding. There's all kind of thoughts. The assignment they've just been given is remarkably, seemingly above their power. Now the disciples are very much saddened. And so He said, but I want to remind you, this same Jesus, not another one, but this same Jesus that you saw taken up, He will come again. And I'm glad today that he's come again and he'll receive us. And you see, he's gone away. There's no use staring into heaven with a sense of confused bewilderment, guys. Jesus has gone away and he is coming again. I've already referenced it, but it's the same assurance we live under today. While the future unfolds, the Lord is coming again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel of the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And here's the key, comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you today, the Lord has left us here, and we have a comforting promise. I tell you, I don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, things don't look good in Syria. Things don't look good in North Korea. And I tell you, things don't even look good in the United States. But I tell you, God is still on the throne. And I'm going to trust Him that He's going to meet our need. What are you looking at today? What are you looking at today? Are you living in fear? Are you caught up in wonder of our risen Savior who loves you? He gave Himself for you and He died for you. And by the way, if you'd have been the only one, I believe He'd have died for you. Are you confused about the turns life has taken? Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about what's going to transpire, take place? Could I remind you? Jesus is in control. Are you actively serving the Lord? Are you busy sharing the gospel in whatever way? Are you looking for His coming? Are you ready for His return? If you was caught up in Jesus and His glory, what a wonderful thing it would be. But the question is, are you ready to meet Him? Are you saved? And do you know you'd stand before Him? If you're worried about today or tomorrow, I challenge you to leave that in the hands of the Lord. He holds today and He holds tomorrow. And I tell you, He holds everything. Bring your fears to Him. He said, comfort one another with these words. If you are serving and sharing the gospel, carry on. One day He's coming and He'll reward you for faithful service. I tell you today, the greatest thrill of my life, and I'm going to tell you, I had won near as many as I'd love to have won, but I have in my mind great memories of people that God allowed me to lead to the Lord. Some of them are in heaven today, but I tell you what a hallelujah time it's going to be. And yes, I do want the rewards. But I want them so I'll have something to give back to Jesus. Because when I get there, nothing in my hand I'll bring. But simply to the cross I'll cling. And what He gives to me, I can give back to Him and praise and glorify His name. If you're looking for Him, don't stop. He's coming. The real question is, the whole message today is, are you saved? Are you trusting Him? Friend, today, be sure you're saved. Do you need to be saved? If you do, just come to the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. What are you looking at this morning? Are you living in fear? Are you living by faith and trusting God that He, one day, although taken up, will come again?
Though the disciples knew Christ well, it was only upon His return that they were able to truly understand God's plan for His kingdom. That kingdom provides the opportunity for each and every one of us, if we will only seek and trust in Him for salvation. Are you focused on the eternal things of Christ or the temporal things of this world? What are you looking at? Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.